ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Something else, and very important thing. the Lord.
Again, with an order, suddenly in the scriptures, by having a great quality, human beings, one who has no great scriptures. In fact, there is only criteria by which we differentiate between devotees and humans. The point is whether we are faithful and obedient to scriptures. If they are not, they are demons. There is no other criteria, we have only criteria.
Three gates of heaven.
Three gates? Freedom, miracle, freedom, the thing about the common accord of the Lokasthara, the three things are three gates of heaven. What about money? Now it's what about money?
Agra-karma.
Agra-karma. Agra-karma. Anybody else can say? Other than what is anybody else? Somebody else would like to say about money? That is the thing, so do they think about money? So are we detached from money also? So anybody else would like to say, those who have answered should not answer now. Now the opportunity is for those who have not yet given any answer. Pardon? What did we say about the attitude of humans towards money? Lots of money. You have the last week also? So very easy to guess what a demon would think about money. Any of money. So we would like to say, who has not yet done? Today I have so much money and tomorrow it will become more. It must be mayaratam, it must be manaratam. Manaratam means by making plans in the mind, always think I can increase this money more and more. And also that is correct. They want to give in charity and they want to gain name and fame through that. And also they want to put them into all their enemies. If there are any enemies coming the way, the competition, then they are ready to put them into that.
One beautiful question is
അതും വളരെ വിദ്യാഭ്യാസമായിരുന്നു എക്സ്പ്രഷൻ. ഫസ്റ്റ് and this is a 10 years to give up this thing. So, where is that habit coming from? That's what is the meaning of habit? You say, I am habituated to do this. Yes? No, yes? So where is that habit coming from? Exactly. They're coming from the modes of nature. You become habituated to do something according to your particular mode. For example, a person in ignorance, if you see his behavior, sometimes you have seen people when they wash the teeth, they speak everywhere. If you have sick or sick, they are everywhere. They don't even, sometimes that's why we don't allow all the things in our ashram. Sometimes when also they become, we have a board, so anybody cannot come inside. Because some people don't have any culture. They wash the breath teeth inside their room only, they speak everywhere. They have a habit, like in buses and trains, you must have seen people sometimes speaking like this. Putting some red, what do you call it, tobacco or something. Corn and that. They are habituated to such a thing because they are in mode of ignorance. Okay? Merely a man is in mode of goodness, is habituated to do things in goodness. The family in goodness is also training the children in goodness. So the children naturally pick up their qualities of the parents and they also are raised in goodness. So, these habits are there in every living being and it is there right from one's birth. So, Krishna is telling the reason to Arjuna. Arjuna, why some people are, after hearing these three people are not able to follow my instructions? Because they are habituated due to the modes which are acting on them. So what is the solution? If modes are acting on us and we become habituated to instruct that, is there any way out? Similar question was asked by Devahuti also. Akartu karma bandhoyam. She says, the Atma is a akartu. Akartu means, Atma is a passive performer of work. Guneshu satchi prakriti, she is saying. Guneshu satchi prakriti. Satchi means in actuality. In actuality, all work is done by Guneshu. Guneshu satchi prakriti. Kaivalyanteshu asakkatam. How can the soul be liberated? She is presenting a paradox here. She is telling to Lord Kapila that on one hand, my Lord, the three modes are acting on the given day. The three modes are actually carrying out all the activities. And the Atma is transcendental and she is never the performer of the world. It is transcendental. And the living entity is born in a particular mode and the modes have already trapped him completely. And the person doesn't even know that I am trapped by the mode and I am suffering this kind of activity. Every one of the activities of the living being is tainted by the mode. Even the sleeve is tainted by the mode. When one wants to use the sleeve in a particular way, as I was telling you now, then actually one sees that he, in whatever mode he is in, according to his behavior, then he is asking where is the way out for the soul. How can the soul get out of this entanglement? That's what Krishna says. Such a soul, somehow or other he comes in contact with the devotee and surrenders to Krishna, then Krishna will make him aware of his awkward position. After that the soul can correct himself. Now in the next verse Krishna will tell us, if he has become habituated to a certain type of behavior, how should we change ourselves? That Krishna is telling in the next verse. That is what. Indriyasyendriyasyate raga dvesha vivastitau. Yona Vatamagache, Taushya Chaparipantino. Because there are principles to regulate attachment and aversion pertaining to the senses and their objects. One should not come under the control of such attachment and aversion because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. Here Krishna is telling about Raja and Dvesha. This world, Prabhupada is explaining here, under citizens in Germany is the cause of material enslavement. People in this world are unrestrictedly enjoying and engaging in sense gratification. And everyone is stooped into this Raga and Dvesha. Raga means attachment for happiness or attachment for things that will bring forth one sense gratification. That is called as Raga. For example, somebody wants to sleep for long, long hours. Or somebody wants to avoid one's regular duties. One wants to shirk all one's responsibility and still want to earn a lot of money. These are all actually raga. The thing that will bring forth some gratification. Similarly, grecha. Grecha means resistance to unhappiness. That is called grecha. That means one wants to become free from any type of suffering. For example, they told you to fast on Ekadashi day. People become very worried if they come to tomorrow is Ekadashi. They cannot eat grains. Or visiting holy places. Then I have to walk long distances in holy places. Or there are rules and regulations. One becomes aware to the rules and regulations. So, he says one should not become attached to raga and dvesha. This kind of attachment and aversion. One should become, later on Krishna will say, raga dvesha vimukta isto. Shriyanam dvesha. He will say that. So, this kind of attachment and aversion is called as a habit of the living being. You all can think in your own mind, what are your attachments and what are your aversions. When you go back home today, you take this assignment to make a list. My attachments, raga, you can make a list. And my aversions, what are the list. And it's quite obvious that you will see that the attachments that you have to be gradually severed. And the aversions that you have, they are actually not really good for you. You have to become free from those aversions. For example, waking up in the morning, you are averse to that. Chanting 16 rounds, you are averse to that. Or not learning faults with anyone. How is it possible? Everyone is full of faults, how can you not learn faults? Still like that. So, attachment and aversion can be seen. So here, Krishna is telling here that one has to learn to become detached from this raga and dvesha. How can one do that? Yeah, that is the reason why the scriptural injunctions are given. But these scriptural injunctions which are given, they may force a person to go against his own mode. For example, somebody who teaches in a particular mode, even mode of ignorance, like any of us have a tendency to sleep long hours. A scriptural injunction tells us, you should sleep only 6 hours a day. There is an injunction given in the scripture. Similarly, one wants to enjoy unlimited sex life. The scripture injunction says, Dharma Adhirudhya Bhuteshu Kamasmi Parakarshata Krishna says. He says, if one wants to lead a family life, then there are rules and regulations for that. One has to follow those rules and regulations. So the scriptural rules and regulations will teach a person and train a person to become free from the bad habits. And then become free from the three modes by very strictly and carefully following the scriptural injunctions. You can read a little bit from Prabhupada Chaitanya. According to scriptural injunctions, one is forbidden to engage in such relationship with any woman other than one's wife. All other women are considered as one's mother. But in spite of such injunctions, the man is still inclined to have such relationships with other women. These propensities have to be curbed. Otherwise, there will be stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. So Prabhupada says that our modes, our habits may direct us in some wrong direction, that we should go against them. Like Prabhupada often used to quote his words. He would say, this is the benchmark for civilized behavior. He would quote this shloka. Matra paradaresha, paradragyesha lastavat, atmavat. Atmavatthara, Atmavatthabhutheshu, these three things. Let's say, Matravatthara-dhareshu, one should see other's wife as one's own mother. And one should see other's money as father, other's money as some garbage. One should not pay any value to other's money. Nobody says. Because one should see others as one's own self. That means, do service to others as you want others to serve you. In that case. So you say this is a benchmark for civilized behavior. Although you may not want to do this three things, matravat, paradharesha, paradharesha, lostavat. If you see in the world today, majority of the problems are because of not following these three principles. Suppose if anybody can follow the three principles, you can be a peaceful man with material wealth. And you can have a peaceful, happy life. One can follow these three principles. In the same way, there are many rules and regulations given in the scriptures. There are rules and regulations given for those in a mode of ignorance. Like for example, one who wants to eat meat, he is allowed to eat meat on a mouth today by offering it to Durga. Similarly, one who is in fashion, he is allowed to pray for material convictions to demigods like Brahma or Ganesh. But he has to do many, many prayers. Similarly, one in goodness, there are many rules and regulations, how a Brahmana should behave. So many rules and regulations are given. So one should follow those rules and regulations to become free from yaga and worship. Now Prabhupada goes one step ahead. He says, practice of sense gratification and the regulations may also lead one to go astray. As much as there is always the chance of an accident even on the royal road, although they may be very carefully maintained, no one can guarantee that there will be no danger even on the safest road. In spite of regulated sense enjoyment, there is every chance of falling down. Therefore, any attachment to regulated sense enjoyment must also be avoided by all means. This is one step ahead. First of all of you appreciate this point about regulated sense enjoyment. I mean, even if you want to enjoy the senses, the Shastra says you should follow this, the rules and regulations. That means there is a limit to it. Like for example, if you want to sleep, you can sleep 6 hours. If you want to eat something, you should eat only prasadam. That is a rule. But of course, somebody may exploit the rule. Somebody says you should eat only prasadam. So they may take 5 cups of sleep rice, 5 glasses of sleep rice. I'm eating only prasadam. So one may exploit the rules and regulations. There is always a chance of falling down. So here Prabhupada talks of a still higher principle. As he says, one should understand the principle behind the rules and regulations. That is very important. The rule itself is not important, but the principle behind the rule is very important. For example, if you say a Brahmana should take bath, at least twice a day, before the baby worship. So this is the rule. But what is the purpose of this rule? What is the end result of this rule? So that the basis can be kept with greatest sanctity possible. The sanctum sanctorum can be kept very pure and nobody can be allowed to enter. Maybe Brahmana will be entering and he will keep his body, mind and work very clean and he will spend the night service to the devotees. But if one is simply attached to the rule itself and not to the purpose of the rule, then one becomes a smart Brahmana. Then one may be taking bath 3 times a day or 4 times a day, or one may be fanatically taking bath 10 times a day. But you may not remember the purpose. Yena kena prakarena manasasya nivechye sarve vidhi nishedhasya yotayara vachankaraha. He says that somehow or other one should ultimately fix his mind on Krishna and one should follow the rules and regulations for the purpose of serving Krishna. Sarve vidhi nishedhasya, vidhi and nished, the rules and prohibitions, they are subservient to this principle. He says, what is the principle? Remembering Krishna. That is the ultimate point. The rule itself is not important, but the rule is applied in order to keep Krishna. That is important. So if one understands the principle as well as the rule, then one can act properly. That is why Rupa Goswami was very important to give how one can break the rules also. He says, Atyahara. One may say, I am eating prasadam, but one may do Atyahara. Prabhupada writes in the purport that one should not put something for the deity with the intention of consuming it oneself. If one wants a particular item, then one should not think, I should touch it, and after it, and then I will eat it like that. Or one should not, like for Brahmacharis, he says, they should not be so very aristocratic houses for the purpose of satisfying their tongue. So, either they may provide prasadam. So, these are all actually. So, one should understand the rule in proper mood. Like we are told, we should accept the devotees. That is one of the rules. We should accept the devotees. Sometimes what happens, some devotees, 5 devotees come together in the name of association, and then we are doing some prajalta. We are talking some mundane subject. We have no connection to devotion. So, Atyahara, Prayasa, Chakrajasa, Niyamagraha, Janasangash, Salavajans, everything has changed. How one should understand the rule and its purpose behind it. That is why, because in sight of regulated sense enjoyment, there is every chance of falling down. Therefore, any attack. department has a regulated sense enjoyment, and also be avoided the arguments. This is regulated sense enjoyment means, for example, the worshipper of Durga is told that we can offer once an amavasya day and we can eat it. This person, if he says every time I offer only an amavasya day and I'm eating meat. So if he's eating lifelong, then there is no meaning to that rule. What is the purpose of that rule? Gradually it will come out. Gradually it will come out from that habit of eating meat. The example is given just like, for example, the government of India, it doesn't like people drinking liquor. Isn't it? But the very same government is opening so many liquor shops everywhere. Is it not going against the government's wish? Certainly it is not. Because the purpose of government opening liquor shops is that there are people who really want to drink. They are anyway not going to, they are drinking. In case you don't open shops, what will they do? They will go for the village type rum preparing the village. Illicit liquor. That is far more dangerous. That will burn the lungs. That will make a person die. So the government is worried. We will have some regulated enjoyment for you. They will open a shop for you. And you buy only from the shop and you drink. So man says, the government has given permission, I'll keep on drinking every day, nice in the shop. Then that is meaningless. So here he says, in spite of regulated sense enjoyment, there is every sense of foreign, therefore any attachment for regulated sense enjoyment must also be avoided by all means. Understand the point? So whenever any form of sense enjoyment is allowed in a regulated way, that means we are expected to gradually improve. By giving up sense gratification more and more. If you are told in the beginning that give up sense gratification, nobody will come. It is not possible. So that is a regulation that is prescribed. So by following the regulation, gradually one should advance in spiritual life. So Krishna has clearly answered the question now. So Arjuna asked how one is caught up in the three modes, and the modes are making a person to behave in a particular way. So what should one do? One should follow the invention to the shastra, which will gradually change the mode of a person. That means we all, when we came to Krishna consciousness, we could very well be in mode of ignorance or in mode of passion. There is absolutely no problem. And if you hear the instructions of Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita, and you follow them very carefully, Prabhupada said this, Krishna conscious and discipline is a military discipline. It is something like a military discipline. I was reading in Bhagavatam, but today there is something like a military discipline. Wake up in the morning, go to nature at 3:30, 4 o'clock, and then take a bath. So the water is cold or hot. Then take the bath and come. Then you have to come and take darshan of the deities of the Lord. Then you dance with the deities. Then you chant the processing grounds. Then afterwards you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, take darshan. So it is like a military discipline. And therefore, such a military discipline may not be very pleasing to everyone in the beginning, especially for those who are very conditioned. Conditioned by past, conditioned by past life. If somebody is habituated to be in tamoguna and wants many, many hours of sleep, they may not like to practice this sense. But Krishna consciousness moment is offering such a wonderful example for this particular sloka. Indriyasya, don't come under their rush. Don't come under the rush of Raga and Dvesha. So Raga and Dvesha, every one of us have our own Raga and Dvesha. And we are certainly going to come under their rush. So Krishna says, Prayodna Asamagachyati. Don't come under their control. Rather what you do, you hear the scriptural inventions and follow them. Although they may not be very pleasing to you. Your mind may very much rebel against the rules and regulations. But you continue to follow them very sincerely. Then one can gradually uplift oneself in spiritual life more and more. And then he says in 36 sloka, from 36 onwards, it's a completely different subject. So we will discuss only 36, up to 36 today. Shreyan Sadharma Vibhinaha Paradharman Sana Sanishtitar Sadharma Vibhinam Shreya Paradharma Bayavaho. It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faultily, than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is useful rather than engaging in another's duties. For to follow another's path is dangerous. Here in this particular sloka, Krishna says that one should do one's own prescribed duty and not try to do somebody else's duty perfectly. So we should not try to imitate somebody else and perform that duty, trying to perform. That's when Raghunath Das Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and wanted to renounce his world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to him the qualities of a sadhu. He told him, if one's senses are uncontrolled and one is externally trying to disappear, he is called as a Markata Vairagi. So he told him, don't become a Markata Vairagi. He is called as Monkey Vairagi. So he is talking about it some chapters before. So he told him, don't become a Vairagi like a monkey who simply runs into the forest without any breath. As if he is a great renunciate. That is, trying to enjoy his senses with a dozen wives. You don't become like such a monkey. Don't artificially renounce yourself. So there are rules and regulations for people to follow, like for householders and the brahmacharis and the sannyasis and vanaprasthas. And everyone should stick to their own prescribed duties without trying to perform somebody else's duty completely. The energy is very much that. Like for example, a brahmachari is supposed to be extremely strict in his dealings with women. He is supposed to treat every other woman as his own mother. But if a brahmachari is not sick, if he is a little loose in character, then he may exhibit loose tendencies because of which he may create a calamity. So if he is secure from his own ashram, he should stick to it very quickly. Similarly, a grihastha, if he is very much frustrated in family life, he may want to take sannyas. Just because one is suffering in one's life, family life, one should not try to sannyas. Similarly, a brahmana should perform his duty. A kshatriya should perform his duty. Here Arjuna is a kshatriya and he is not ready to perform his duty. He wants to perform the duty of a brahmana. He is telling, let me just forgive. Forgiving is a sense of a brahmana. So here Arjuna is telling, what is it? Why are you asking me to fight? I simply want to forgive them and let me just beg and eat. I don't want to fight with them. Krishna is asking, what is this foolishness? You are a kshatriya. It is better for a kshatriya to fight with an enemy and die in the battlefield and gloriously attain the heaven rather than becoming like a brahmana and serving non-violence. Ahimsa sattva makrodha, that ahimsa quality is the quality of a brahmana. As far as kshatriya is concerned, kshatriya is in fact trained even before he goes to the battlefield to fight with people. Like for example, a kshatriya goes to the forest for hunting, and hunting is the authorized activity of a kshatriya. He can hunt animals. As a brahmana is never supposed to kill animals. Kshatriya can go to forest, hunt animals, and by just go to, sometimes the kshatriya they go into forest without any weapons. And they directly attack a tiger. Tiger doesn't attack them, they attack a tiger. And then they have to catch the hands of the tiger and they have to fight. Like regular sometimes you see. Sometimes tigers become fierce and they run away in the kshatriya. In the ancient times, you must have seen in India they have beings like controlling the bulls. I don't know, in Maharashtra, how much they celebrate. South side is very famous during Sankranti. Kshatriya they come into a bhoomi in the playground, Tang Maidan. That, but the huge bulls with big backs, and they run in and stand in the middle of the ground. There are thousands of people around. Kshatriyas have come and they have to catch this bull. The horns would be so huge. And they have to catch and control the bull completely. When they control, then the owner of the cow, owner of the bull, he will give his daughter in marriage to the person. Like that. In those days they used to test the strength of kshatriyas like that. So the kshatriyas nature is to fight with the enemy and kill him. And kshatriyas always want challenges like that. So here Krishna is telling any person should perform his prescribed duty and should not try to perform somebody else's duty perfectly. Like many of you must have heard the story of Ekalavya, isn't it? In India, Ekalavya story is very much misunderstood by people. People don't have a clear understanding of the moral of Ekalavya story. Ekalavya, he had the qualities of a Shudra. He never exhibited any quality of Kshatriya. So when he went to Dronacharya, he learned archery. Dronacharya was at that time teaching Pandavas how to learn different colors of fighting. So he also went to him to learn. Dronacharya rejected him. He said, "You are not a Kshatriya. You don't have the qualities of Kshatriya. I cannot teach you." So Ekalavya went away, but he was very eager to learn somehow or other. Then he made a deity of Dronacharya. And the offering proper respect to the deity, gradually he learned the color of archery. And then he learned how to send arrows. Once, when the Pandavas were moving about in the forest, they found a dog whose mouth was filled with arrows. And the dog was not even able to make any sound. It was literally beating, crying. Then he immediately brought the dog to Dronacharya and showed him, "See, Master, how somebody has caused cruelty to his dog and removed all the arrows." Dronacharya immediately said, "This must be the work of Ekalavya." He said, "This must be the work of a Shudra." Then he called for Ekalavya. He asked Ekalavya, "Did he do that?" And Ekalavya said, "Yes, that means." Dronacharya said, "See, just now you have proved that you are a Shudra." The Kshatriya, when a Kshatriya learns archery or for that matter any color of fighting, that is meant for the protection of poor living beings, and protection of women, protection of children, protection of old people, protection of brahmanas and cows. So a Kshatriya knows what he is learning things from. A Kshatriya is not supposed to exploit others by learning the color. So he said, "I already rejected you, but I won't teach you this archery. But you have gone through a roundabout way by learning this. So you have committed a great crime." So Ekalavya really did not follow the order of his spiritual master. If you ever consider Dronacharya as a spiritual master, what did his spiritual master say? He told him he should not learn this. He should not have learned this. For example, my Guru Maharaj tells me that you should simply watch pots. Because if you preach, you become proud. You simply watch pots. What should I do? I should watch pots. If I tell him, no, I can perform that activity better. Probably my spiritual master doesn't know. I will continue to do. That means one is actually not a spiritual master. That is what exactly Ekalavya did. He was told that he did not do for you, he learned archery. But he learned archery and he started a poor animal like a dog. So afterwards Dronacharya told him, then he asked what Dakshinashtra to you. Then he said, "Give you a tongue." Today in India people are glorifying this one activity, but Ekalavya gave his tongue. That's a great activity for sound. But they actually do not know the real meaning of the story. Bhaktivedanta Saraswati has explained it very clearly. That giving of his thumb is not a great activity because Dronacharya asked his thumb so that he will not further misuse his kala. Otherwise he will further, now he was killing the poor dog. Tomorrow he may kill a brahmana and take away his wife. He can do that, a Shudra can do anything. So Shudra should not be trained in such kala. That is why he took away his thumb. So this is the real moral of the story of Ekalavya. So today many majority of people in India think Ekalavya was such a wonderful disciple that he gave up his thumb. Nobody knows that he rejected the order of Guru. Nobody knows that. So here it is very applicable to this particular shloka. Because Krishna says it is better to discharge one's prescribed duty. That means Ekalavya is better for him to be a Shudra and do his duty. Even though falsely, than another duty perfectly. You all understand this point? So one should not try to perform somebody else's activity perfectly. One should not take that. As long as one is under the three modes of material nature. But if one becomes transcendental, then and the title. One becomes transcendental, then this choice doesn't apply. Like for example, you all know Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra was born in Kshatriya family. But later on he took the position of a brahmana. That's a very long story. What is the time now? Anyway, I can tell you briefly, once actually there is a great famine, that time it was called as Kaushika Rishi. Sorry, it's called as King Kaushika. So in King Kaushika's case, there was a great famine and there was nothing to eat in the country. People were all starving and many people were dying. So at that time, one great sage, Vasishtha Muni, He arranged for the big bed of Prasadam and he sent it to Vishwamitra. Sorry, that time he was called as Kaushika. So he got it. But he was wondering, such a wonderful bed of Prasadam, why did he get it? That is a great wish he gave it. Why can't you provide it for all my people? Then he asked the servant. The servant said, he has got a comedy in a cow. He is giving this Prasadam. Then he told his sainik, you go and bring it. He told his soldier, go and bring the comedy in a cow. Then I can feed all my children. There is no problem in the country. Then they said, no, this comedy in a cow is from heavenly planet. And it is not easy to bring it. And the sage would never give it. That is his only property. And the cow has come to him because of his great tapasya. So he cannot get it easily. Then he went with all his soldiers. And he threatened with him, are you going to give this cow or not? Then the rich was not ready to give it. Then he asked his soldiers to fight with the cow. And then the cow had also many, many powers. There was a big war. Nobody could take the cow from its place. Then Mahishamani, of course, they both had a lot of arguments. He had an argument with Mahishamani. That you think you are all powerful, I will have to become powerful like you. So my tapasya. Then he performed a lot of tapasya. Of course, as a king, he had enjoyed a lot of varieties of enjoyment as a kshatriya. But later on also, he could not maintain his penance. He fell down, became a victim of Menaka. And again, he performed penance, and then he became Brahma Rishi. Then he was called a Vishwamitra, friend of all living beings, called a Vishwamitra afterwards. So, somebody who is transcendental can act. Also, he was a kshatriya, he acted as a yavana. So, the Parashuram was a Brahmana, but he acted as kshatriya. Such things are allowed in transcendental states. When one becomes transcendental, then one goes beyond all the modes. One is not subject to sadhya guna, tamo guna, sattva guna. When one is beyond the modes, then one can act. One can do everybody else's job. That is why in our moment also, when we talk of daily varnashrama system, we all are in particular modes, but we do all types of activity. Although we are not transcendental, we are supposed to be transcendental. Even if we are not transcendental, we are following somebody who is transcendental. Especially like Prabhupada and his father. By following them, we are doing all activities. Like if you see, some of us may be sitting the floor, some of us may be teaching sometimes. Sometimes we may be doing Kriyadi work, Brahmana's work. So we do the work of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Generally, it is the duty of the spiritual master to offer the prescribed duties to his disciples. So, spiritual master knows best what is the mode of a person. That can be said the best. That is just the service they have. So he allowed the service. We can engage anybody else in the service. So as far as we are concerned, what is the stroke of meaning for us? Whatever prescribed duties are given to us by the spiritual master, we should strictly take it. We should not try to do somebody else's duty. Most of us here. So every one of us, Papa is talking about two duties, spiritual duties and material duties. Nowadays in the month, accountant class and administrative class and labor class. The four class duties. Today intelligent class is hard to do with labor class work. And the labor class is all has to do the work of intelligent class. So the labor class is exploiting intelligent class and taking the credit. This is the factory which is happening in many places. So one who is very, very intelligent and intelligent, unfortunately doesn't get the proper role in the society. The Vedic society is so beautifully arranged. Of course, even if a person from the intelligent class, he gets engineering or he gets medicine, still his intelligence is unnecessarily exploited for the purpose of so-called bogus advancement as we were discussing last week. So the advancement only brings about disaster to the entire world. But in prison class, you should use that intelligence for the sake of propagating Krishna consciousness. That is the purpose of intelligent class. When Srila Prabhupada went to America, he was telling, I have come to America to get Brahmanas. He said, then you wonder, how can you get Brahmana in America? Vedanta, everyone is in nature. But that is not true, because in every part of the world, there are people who are intelligent class, and there are people who are lower class and mercantile class, administrative class. So the Prabhupada sees immediately the intelligent class people surrounded him, and they have dedicated their life. And it is natural for them to dedicate their life and to practice God consciousness, and to preach, and to live a pure life for very consciousness for many people. Even today we see in all parts of the world, because such people are existing everywhere. So everyone is in a particular mode. So the spiritual master allows services to the disciples according to what is best for them. So one should very carefully follow one spiritual master's instruction. So Krishna, in this way, he tells us two things in this sloka and in the previous sloka. He says that although everyone has become habituated according to a particular mode, one can change the habit by ignoring the spiritual intention. That is one thing. Another thing he says is that after one has understood his prescribed duties, one should stick to the prescribed duties, come what may. Many amount of difficulties may come in one's way, so one should stick to them. One should not give up on prescribed duties. There are actually six steps in calendar. First it will say, Anikulya Sankalpa Pratipalya Savasana. Whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness is success, and whatever is unfavorable is taxation, which is actually supposed to say this in the previous sloka. In the next week, we are accompanying with another section, step number 36, where Arjuna will be asking, but after understanding all this, still why is one himself to sinful acts. Sinful acts means any activity against the scripture. But Arjuna here, Krishna is telling him, Indriyasya Arthe, Vata Jyasya Vastita. For Arjuna, the Indriyasya Arthe means the attachment to his relatives. Vata Jyasya we were discussing just now. As far as Arjuna is concerned, what is Raga and Jyasya? So Raga is his attachment to the body of his relatives. An attachment to his own conception of why he should not fight. That is Raga. And his Dvesha is, he doesn't pay any heed to what Krishna says. He simply doesn't want to hear any good advice. He is averse to hearing anything else besides that. So Arjuna is asking, what is the cause that a person is himself to act in a particular direction? That's the reason to it. Hare Krishna. Any questions? One question? Pastor Sam. Pastor was Bharat Maharaj. He became a very great king, Kshatriya. And then his next nine children were Navayogendra, Paramahansa devotee to the Lord. And then, who was the 11th one? 11th one was, I think, another nine were Kshatriya Sattva. And then 81 of them were Brahmanas performing Kshatriya activities. Like that. So they were all actually in different modes. Kshatriya, some of them were Brahmanas, some of them were like that. So, somebody born in Kshatriya family can be in any one of the chapters. That categorization was done by the spiritual master.
Even a Kshatriya becomes a Vaishnava, the entire village
irrespective of the class, caste, creed or color would respect him. So Valmiki, he became transcendental to all the three modes. So he is respectable by all classes of people. So devotee deserves respect from all classes of people. So a Brahmana would never say, oh, he is from a Shudra family. They would never say that. When the person becomes a Paramahamsa, then he becomes free from all caste, creed, color and all those things. Of course, there are people like Valmiki, as I said. They may be from any caste, they can be even a Chandala. That is not it.
How do you know
only from the spiritual master? But I asked the same person. I was told that now in the modern times, like for example, people are always worrying, you know, which part of the course should I go for engineering or should I go for medicine, should I go for commerce? Because they do not know their integrity, they do not know their guna in them, and we are not adequately mature when we are in 10th standard or whatever. But if you already come into a profession now, you are coming to engineering or whatever you are doing, according to our spiritual master, he says, Dharana Smarate, that wherever you are in, you do those activities. Those are your material physical duties. And your physical duties, that you will adhere when you come to the classes. And standing still down, carrying the four greater principles. And even your material job should not interfere with your four greater principles. Like one of our students is telling in Catering College, he was telling that in the past 3 years he has been specializing on different types of wines. And he said, specialist in that, he's number one in that. Now he's going to take up a job now. And then we came to his service in the last year. We kept it sharp for him. But he became a very serious devotee now. Now he wants to advance in spiritual life and he wants to give up. And he doesn't want to know, doesn't know what his spiritual job. Then I asked him, he's not possible for to join a vegetarian hospital. Even the salary would be very less. It would be like one third of what I earn in a coffee having wine. But he would agree to do that. So one has to be very careful that one's material sister duties don't come in the way of one's spiritual sister duties. They should not come. One should be very careful. And you should not work for a cigarette company or a liquor company or a company that promotes drugs and such things like that. Which it encourages people to praise that for a greater sympathy. So in the modern times we all work in so many places, it's quite likely that you are working for someone who is either breaking the principles and helping people to break the principles. So we should be very careful. Otherwise, wherever you are situated, you continue your job and identify your prescribed duties in spiritual circles, like you are standing spin rounds and falling for principles and advancing further. Then we are fixed, there is no problem. And as far as this local function, as I told you, we should not try to artificially behave like a person, for example, one devotee was asking, oh, Maharaj, there are so many difficulties in family life. Now I am just 35, and there are so many difficulties. If one has properly understood the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then why can't one take sannyas? Maharaj said, that is not a difficult duty. The prescribed duty is to be a Chatmahaputra Kurma Brahman. But you have to live in your home. No matter what difficulties are there, you become completely Krishna conscious, all your difficulties will be gone. He told them, Arjuna Thakur said, my house is like a Gopaka Vrindavan. He had 10 children at home. And he said, when I return from the office, he was a hyper magistrate. He said, when I return from the office, all my children are doing tapan and they are creating such an atmosphere, it looks like a Gopaka Vrindavan, he said. So one can make one's house into a temple. So one should stick to one's dharma. This is there in the Bhagavatam also in many, many places. One should perform one's dharma. Dharmena amalatmana, he says. If amalatmana means with a pure heart, one should perform one's dharma and offer the fruit to Krishna. That is the Aminitta nimittani dharmena amalatmana.
Huh?
Why can't you do that? Gautama Buddha, he left. Chatmahaprabhu left, Raghunatha Goswami left, family left. So I can think of even 5 more examples. But these are very special people. Chatmahaprabhu was not an ordinary person. He was Krishna himself. So when somebody is very exalted in the Paramahamsa, then he may leave, like Sridhara Swami also left his family. When a person is in Paramahamsa state, he liberated, not only he will know himself, everyone can know that he is Paramahamsa. Such a person can be. For the sake of the greatest noble cause of serving the society. Chatmahaprabhu actually, there is a very strong reason why he took sannyas. He saw that the people in general are not aware that he is Krishna himself. And we are not probably respecting him. We are taking him very seriously. He understood that unless I take sannyas, people, I will not be able to preach this message to people. So he took that. Not only that, he exhibited the topmost renunciation of even leaving the goddess of fortune aside for the sake of preaching. And he took the road of such an offering. Everyone cannot imitate. He cannot imitate such an offering. Such an offering is the same Krishna who lifted the road and the Krishna. We cannot imitate his activities. So, in the same way, we cannot imitate the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, but we have to follow according to his teaching. See, the same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave two different instructions to give two different people. So, when the Goswami said, that you have given us home now, don't let it be marked away like that. So, Gopal Bhatta Goswami said, your parents are also devotees, Venkata Bhatta is devotee. So, you remain at home and tell the parents that don't marry. Remain like that. So at a later stage you can come and join me. So gave different instructions to different people according to that particular nature. I was looking for one word. I have written definition of the circuit. It's probably enough. Note it down in the book. According to one's nature of body and mind. Like for example, somebody is suited for the celibate life, somebody is suited for grihastha life. Similarly, somebody is having Brahminical quality, somebody has Kshatriya quality, somebody has Vaishya quality. According to that, only the circuit is acceptable. In the same way, Chaitanya would claim to see that this person can renounce everything and come. He told that. He told Rupa and Sanatana, give up everything and come. But some people he told that, like Kurma Brahman, you remain at home. Can't enter that. Stay at home and be part of Krishna consciousness. Like that. So one should not act whimsically without taking instructions from the spiritual master. Should never act whimsically. Last question.
You
were talking about Kshatriya.
Kshatriya
is a duty
to protect all the
religions.
But only, they are allowed to do
nothing. No, hunting, no, ferocious animals. The forest, they are allowed to go into forest and hunt some animals like tigers. They are allowed to hunt because if such animals are left, then they can cause a great harm to the people also. They may come into the village and may cause a great harm to the village. At the same time, Kshatriya should fight with such animals and they should see the blood. So that they will have the courage when they go to the battlefield to kill people, to sever the head of somebody and still see it and laugh without becoming compassionate. If a Brahmana sees the blood, he will start trembling. But Kshatriya can decapitate a person and still he will not become friends. In fact, he will be very happy. Yes, they are free. Because they go to the heavenly planet. If they fight in the battlefield and they die, they go to the heavenly planet. Actually, one performs a duty according to his prescribed duty, according to his own settled status, then he only gains benefit. That's why Krishna is telling Arjuna, fight, don't try to escape, don't become non-violent.